And I don't know. Jesus being dead. But he answered his horses in the morning. And then we brought them out of course after the meeting.
How was the eagle structure? Come up with it.
We haven't had it yet.
Okay.
The state convention is April 27th.
So we'll have to figure it out and then
Good morning. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Please silence your cell phones. It's not to disrupt the meeting. And then if you'll please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those of you that might have been in Virginia City over the weekend, Saturday was quite a spectacle. Our annual St. Patrick's Day Parade and Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry. A lot of characters dressed up in costume. It was quite a sight. So moving along now to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the agenda for March the 15th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve today's agenda.
I'll move to approve today's agenda, March 15, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Then move to second to approve the agenda for March 15, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
And moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 8. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And so why don't we start with tourism this morning, Denny Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you'll have to second your comments there. There was one character in long green hair that was judging the oyster contest there. Not quite sure where she came from. Someone said it might have been our district attorney, but I can't confirm. The photos and the video that we have will confirm once we get those back. So, with that, Madam DA and Jack, thank you for being a part of that. A lot of fun. New event, if you will, and an old event in a new venue. A lot of things came up, but I think we handled them pretty well. There were a few safety concerns we're aware of. There's a few issues with some of the excessive gunfire that we'll find a remedy for. But overall, pretty good way to start out the year. I also wanted to mention real quickly about Cemetery Gin. We have been sold just over 150 cases. That would equal out to about $1,800 that we've given back to the Cemetery Foundation so far. So just getting started. We're doing some efforts to ramp that up for this summer as well. That should be more beneficial to the cemetery. And then finally, we had a meeting with VCTC last week and approved our tentative budget. I'll present that to you folks here on the next meeting with the rest of the department heads.
Great. Any questions for Dan?
No, it was a fun event.
Great. Thank you, Denny. Next, up over at Community Development, Dean Haymore.
Thank you, Commissioners. We had a ribbon cutting of a new dentist office out at the Industrial Park. It was well attended by the county. We're glad and welcome a new dentist, Dr. Everly, to provide services out there. Working with another gentleman to try to get some commercial support buildings out there, hotels, restaurants, and things like that. I actually have a call with a lady putting in some commercial property at 11:30 today. We'll follow up on that. Some good news. We are still working with our companies out there, and they are building. in between my morning meeting this morning, I just got a call, Conoco, that owns the eBay building, 277, just put me on notice. Submit plans immediately for $700,000 behind them. Mark Siegel's going to build his $700,000. He's out to bid right now. We had meetings with Tesla. Tesla is preparing plans for another warehouse onto their existing building, about 1 million square foot that will be in. So we are busy. We're very thankful in Story County to have all these projects. We're probably one of the busiest counties in the country, and we're very fortunate to have these companies come in and still invest in our facility. Single-family homes are starting a little bit. Working on the train depot down here at Gold Hill, Pat has assigned me a couple of projects. I'm working on getting the stairs put back at the Sharon House. That will come in front of you for approval when we have a plan there, and doing a little repairs on a couple other projects in town. Any other questions?
Any questions? Great. Thank you, Mr. Hamel.
Thank you.
Over planning, Jason Van Habel.
Good morning. Thank you. Brief update on the cell tower out in the Highlands. I spoke with Robert McLachlan of Vista Towers, the owner of the cell site in the Highlands. And he feels that both Verizon and T-Mobile are right on the cusp of doing something. However, they have not yet. He has expectations that hopefully something will hit soon. Verizon, generally, this fiscal year has directed their capital investment towards increasing capacity, not towards increasing their coverage. And T-Mobile, so far this fiscal year, have had some dynamics in terms of their capital expansion budget. Money has gone in, money's gone out, and it's made expectations for their increasing coverage to be kind of problematic. AT&T was not expected to be a player at this point. Maybe they would come along sometime in the future. However, Mr. McLachlan recently learned that AT&T received a federal tax rebate with the string attached that money would be used towards increasing rural cell coverage. So he has not had a chance to contact AT&T regarding how they plan to expend the money, but he plans to do so, and that may be an opportunity to get some coverage into the Highlands. So that was the latest update that I have on the coverage.
Any questions for Jason?
Now you said that Verizon really didn't budget for additional coverage?
Thus far, they have been directing their capital budget towards increasing the capacity, not towards increasing coverage. I don't know that their budget, it was not presented to me as though their budget is that well defined. It's just generally at this point, their expenditures have been towards capacity and not coverage.
Keep our fingers crossed with those two carriers. I wouldn't keep any hope out at all for AT&T. We've been unsuccessful to get them to utilize an existing tower in Virginia City for service. And they keep saying, well, we don't have enough subscribers here, but we see over 1 million visitors a year from all over the place, and a lot of those are AT&T customers. And I know a bunch of people have jumped ship on AT&T because they're unwilling to go ahead and provide service up there. Depending on what part of town you're in, depends on whether or not you're going to have coverage or not. So, okay. Anyway, I think AT&T is a lost cause. So, okay. But anyway, maybe one of the other two guys. You know, we have two things we're looking at. We're looking at public safety issues for the Highlands coverage out there, and also the residents out there. Anybody who follows the Highlands blog will know that everybody's concerned about when they're finally going to get cell service because. Phone service out there is iffy at best anyway, because for internet service and telephone, cell service, they've got a lot of problems there. So it looks like you were probably out there looking at the new tower there, maybe got a little too close to it.
Something like that, yes. Oh,
okay. What is that story?
Would you like to hear the story?
Sure.
We have time.
I was taking a look at our wonderful new ladder truck that we have out in the Tri-Center. Very impressed with it, and I was walking up the ladder towards the bucket to take a look at it, being very impressed and being very careful, keeping my eyes on the rungs of the ladder, and I missed the light that was aimed towards my face. So now I have the mark of respect to be able to show off.
We probably need a warning sign on that. We get the fire district to go ahead and put a warning sign on that light.
Station 75 has a dented and damaged light fixture.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Report. Great. Melanie, do you have anything for us today? Anything back there? Speaking of the fire district, Chief Haynes?
Nothing today outside of the pre-prepared monthly report.
Okay.
We are working
on the interdepartmental employees for the light for people. Very good. Stacy, do you have something today? Nothing today? How about a senior planner, HR? Whatever Hattie else he's got on today, Austin Osberg?
I'll just kind of start off mentioning, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as that tower goes out in the Highlands, one of the findings for its approval was the 1996 Telecommunications Act that almost mandates counties to allow these sorts of devices out in rural areas that don't have coverage or provide under coverage. I would hope that the Verizon or AT&T or whatever team are looking at that as their potential, at least something to provide the eligibility for those federal grants for that. That was the purpose of providing that cell tower out there for that reason alone. On the other side, just want to talk about benefits. We're in that open enrollment period of time that we enter every year for health benefits for our employees, for retirees and others. And so we're there, and we're just about toward the end of the process now. Really give you a little summary. Every year we go through this process where we assess our health benefits plan, and we make changes to the plan as needed, and we really get the help from a lot of our employees that participate in a task force that Jesse and I go down about every week or so, and we talk to them about, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what could we improve. And then we also, of course, work with our internal team fiscally and look at what are improvements we need to make there or what kind of conditions exist. And the carriers do the same. So the existing carrier, which is Prominence, as well as others that might want to bid for us, they also look at our experience rating, and they look at what they may come back as a bid. So this year, based on a couple things that are happening, one is we have an experience rating right now that has a little bit of an outlier occurring. Something is happening with one of our members. It may not even be a full-time or whatever, but an employee, if something's happening to cause their experience rating to go up a little bit. And nationwide, because of Affordable Care Act and other reasons, the PPO plans have been really taking a hit. And because of that, the carriers are coming back with substantially higher premium requirements. So our carrier, Prominence, came back and said, you're looking at a 37 to 50% increase in your insurance premiums for the county this year. What do you all want to do? And so we're working with our LP insurance broker, who has been absolutely amazing for our team. He came to me and also came to Jesse and said, you know, what would you like to counter with? And I said, well, how about zero? So we did. Came back with a 0% increase. And with that, we got Prominence, Hometown, Cigna, and Anthem to give a bid back and a counter offer. And working back and forth about a dozen or so more times, we ended up with a 3.4% premium increase, which I think is well below what was expected and a very minimal cost to the county. And additionally, keeping our similar PPO plan and our health savings account high deductible plan that employees can opt to use at a minimal cost to the county. The really objective in this whole thing was really to create a balance between our employees and the benefits in order to try to make Story County attractive and competitive in the labor market, bringing in people and keeping people, in other words, and also trying to keep those costs down to the taxpayers and doing a lot of back and forth and give and take. And there were some concessions our employees and group had to make, and there were some concessions that our insurance carrier also was willing to make. With that, we ended up choosing, because of the cost and the benefit, Hometown. And so we will be going to Hometown and leaving prominent St. Mary's plan. Hometown has some benefits that St. Mary's did. St. Mary's had some benefits that Hometown didn't, or that does. And at this point, what we're going to look at doing is a mandatory meeting for all of our employees and members on March 29 and 31. There will be one meeting on either of those days where our employees will get a presentation from our Hometown group as well as LP Insurance and then the dental division and life insurance and some of the accessory insurances that employees may buy into if they wish to, like Aflac, that the county doesn't necessarily pay for, and get a full presentation of what these plans are, what types of changes employees will need to make, and then also, secondly, give another presentation on the health savings account high deductible plan that the county and our team has really been pushing hard for employees to join. And so far successful. I understand we have 12 members on the high deductible plan now, as opposed to one that we had before we had made this push, and essentially is less expensive for the county and provides a little bit more accountability to each employee using their health benefits plan because they have a little bit of a stake in the game by contributing funds and through a county contribution as well, where they actually have a savings account with their own money that they use. I've always been an advocate of HSAs. If an employee has to pay $1.50 to go to a doctor, they'll think more about what they're doing as opposed to being 100% subsidized. So that's where we are at this point. I'm happy to answer any questions you have, but this is pretty much our annual renewal process.
I have more of a comment regarding the HSA account. I learned this year, last week, that I could have saved myself a noticeable amount of money if I would have paid my doctor bills through the HSA account and then paid the doctor bills through the HSA account. Because what happens, what they do is the HSA account will lower your income tax-wise. So when you go to do your taxes, you're dealing with the lower income. And that made a big difference in my case. So I didn't know that until just last week when I went to see my tax guy.
And that's exactly
how that works. But I don't think a lot of people know how that works.
Yeah.
And it's not really talked about.
That's a major element of our presentation, really the Hometown and LP's presentation we give to our members every year, including retirees, is explaining what an HSA is and going through all those tax benefits. And boy, if you really know how to work an HSA plan, it really can be beneficial to you. And then you can also go to out-of-network doctors. You can go to holistic doctors. You can go to Europe and use a doctor, whatever type you want, using that HSA money that you built up and
right.
It was tax-free. You're absolutely right on that.
Just pay your HSA account and then pay the doctor from that account.
Yeah. And you have that money forever.
And you can go to anybody you want, basically. Yeah.
Absolutely. And ultimately, we think nationwide that HSAs may become more of a standard program. But right now it hasn't happened yet. There's still some moving around to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Sheriff's Office today, Tony Dobson?
Nothing to report.
Nothing today? Special Counsel Morris?
Nothing today, thank you.
Deputy District Attorney Willis?
Good morning. I just want to bring up one thing that's going to be probably showing up on your April 5th agenda, and that is that there's a piece of property towards the north end of the county, which is actually in Washoe County, owned by Scannell Properties, which is trying to develop that property for, I think, a UPS distribution center. And in order to close the deal, they need to be able to have a title insurance company insure access to that property. The access to the property goes along Mustang Road, a portion of which goes underneath the railroad, which has an easement granted to Story County for maintenance. The actual depiction, the actual legal description for the easement does not match the location where the roadway is. And so they're having some trouble getting some title insurance for access. Scannell Properties has gone to the railroad company, and the railroad company has said that they will amend their easement to conform with the location where the roadway is, and the county is then expected to sign off on that amended lease. And the proposal is that once that is accomplished, that Story County would assign their interests in the lease or the easement along with the maintenance obligations to Washoe County, because it's located in Washoe County. I think Washoe County is prepared to follow through on that.
Okay. Any questions? That's all right. Okay. Yeah, imagine that. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. DA Langer?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager Whitten?
Oh, several things, but I'll try to be quick. Learned some interesting statistics from RAD Strategies this morning relative to the e-blast that we put out subsequent to a meeting. We shared this with essentially all the staff that's in the room, but hopefully this makes it into today's e-blast, and even folks like Tim and Al and others that may be interested in our e-blast can go ahead and sign up as well. This is our right now we have an individual, one of our part-timers, taking copious notes and beginning to prepare for the minutes of the commission meeting today. But her first order of business is to put out a rather quick, hopefully concise, accurate rendition of what went on today. So kind of a draft of the minutes, if you will, greatly ratcheted down. But the statistics I thought were interesting, and I'm not a social media expert, but we currently have a 50% open rate on our e-blasts. That's huge in the business from what Ron L. communicated. And considering that we have 250 people signed up for that e-blast, that means 125 people every day, or every first and third Tuesday, I should say, have some interest in what's going on here. And I think it's a great tool. It started for reasons that are no longer applicable anymore, but it's gained its own legs over time. And I'd encourage anybody and everybody that if you see it, open it, like it, literally and figuratively on Facebook, but also share it, because then that puts that out to your network and makes it available as well. So just a thought. I won't say much right now. I was going to tell you all about Ames Construction, and then I remembered that Seth from Ames is going to be here today. So I think he's going to spend a few minutes telling us what he can, knowing that there are a lot of things that he can't, you know, about the project itself, because those are still being developed. But I'm glad Ames took the time to come out, and it's going to be a great partnership. Zip code, I'm not going to get down into the weeds too far today, other than to say we had a powwow with Congressman Amaday, Chairman McBride, myself, individuals from Pitney Bowes, which is a software geocoding provider for taxation, and a good core of people coming up from U.S. Postal in Las Vegas, and quite honestly, a disappointing and dismal representation from the Department of Taxation itself. It became apparent during that meeting, mostly thanks to the Pitney Bowes people, that there are errors on a nationwide basis. That's the good news. Hopefully we can continue to address those one way or another. We're bound and determined we will. We have our lobbyist, retired Congressman Porter, setting up meetings with the governor's office. The bad news is it became pretty crystal clear last week that we probably won't be seeing a new zip code out in Tri, because even Congressman Amaday, who's a great representative, understands that if it really doesn't help mail delivery, it probably isn't a proper or legal use of the postal statutes and requirements. So our focus is becoming more and more intense with the local Nevada Department of Taxation, and we'll see where that takes us. I want to remind the commissioners, the department heads are well aware of this, and electeds, that at the next commission meeting on April 5th, we intend to have a public hearing on the tentative budget. We're rapidly closing in on publication both to the public and, of course, to the commissioners. Individual meetings will be set up with each of the three of you, I believe, with the physical team of Hugh Gallagher, Jennifer McCain, and Jesse Fain. So we have, we'll hopefully move along with that. I think pretty much everybody knows that, unfortunately, after 5 years of dedicated effort, Doug Gist has decided to call No Moss in the Peace Officers Museum downstairs here in the courthouse. It's really a sad thing. I was in there yesterday multiple times. We've got a couple of different ideas of what we would like to do with it. I think we're realistic enough to know that repositioning it as a museum, if it couldn't succeed under Doug's model, it probably won't succeed, especially last year when, you know, they had a great representative, local town character, Deke, standing down on the corner to bring people up and tell them about town. But we're going through a couple of iterations. I know Commissioner McGuffey's familiar with it because we turned to him yesterday in his private sector job. I'll be briefing you guys individually. There still are some hurdles to overcome, but the good news is every department head, every elected within the county, you know, are being extremely participative and cooperative, and I think eager to see what we may be able to do down there and still respect the historical integrity of the jail itself. And lastly, she hates it when I do this, so I'm gonna basically direct it to her two partners. It's rare that we have all three of our legal counsel here. And I want to tell particularly the gentleman, but also it does have a lot to do with leadership, that I've lived and worked with an awful lot of district attorneys and legal staff over the years, too many, to be honest, as I joke with them. The caliber and the responsiveness and the professionalism and the depth of the advice and counsel that we're getting on a multi-daily basis, multi-times-a-day basis, is incredible. Thank God for Bob Morris, because I don't know of anybody else on planet Earth that actually likes to do ordinances. I mean, and truthfully, other than small things like capital letters and a few little quirks like that, you know, he writes them where they not only are applicable, but they're understandable. So I thank Bob. And then from Key's standpoint, as we enter into more and more complex civil areas that are critical for us to digest 65, 70 pages of some legislative bill or action, Key's got it done and out in a concise format in less than 2 days, that is exceptionally helpful. So to Ann and the team, I thank you all for the new level and caliber that you brought our legal advice in the county up to. It's never been this good ever, period. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah. That conclude your report?
Yes, sir.
All right. To the clerk's office?
Yeah.
Clerk?
Nothing with you?
All right. That concludes item 8. We're moving on now to item number 9. This is board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes. I was the honorary chief judge for the Oyster Fry this weekend, and I had a ball. You know? it was fun. D.A. Langer was also a judge, and then we had three ladies from Tahoe and one lady from Reno. It was their first time, and we all had fun together and met some new friends. And they'll be up for other events, too. So it was. It started out cold and windy and kind of miserable there. We were wondering if it was even going to get going, and then by about 11 o'clock, it was in full swing, and the place was packed. I just also wanted to note today only, Dairy Queen is giving out free ice cream cones. And they're, of course, they're looking for donations, and all the proceeds go to the Children's Miracle Network. So if you're in Carson or Reno, swing by your local Dairy Queen.
Commissioner McGuffey. Commissioner Gilman.
Invitation, there will be a wild horse conference held at the county facilities in TRI. And that will start at 9:30 this coming Friday, the 18th, with all the stakeholders involved. We'll be looking at 1,300 head or more or less of horses out in the TRI range. With a lot of community interest, Tesla and Switch
company participation. Actually, they encourage the meeting, and many other companies are signing on and will be there on Friday. So for anyone interested, it should be an interesting day.
How long do you expect it to last?
I believe 2 hours. I think it's scheduled from 9:30 to 11:30.
Okay. Very good. Anything else?
That's all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. I have nothing today. Move on now to item number 10. This is discussion only. This is a presentation from EP Minerals. So we'll have, we have Greg Jones listed on the agenda, but we're going to have Tim Crowley and Al. I'm not going to butcher your last name, so I'm going to let you. And for the record, if you go ahead and state your name so we can get the clerk and get it.
I will. It's Al Kazanowski.
I had that down pat.
So I'm Al Kazanowski, and I am from EP Minerals, and I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing. And I just wanted to take some time here and talk about our company and what we do here in Story County and a couple other counties around the area. So thank you, commissioners, and thank you, everybody, for having me today. And I think we need to adjust to move the screen presentation ahead. There's not an automatic clicker, right? Is there anything? Okay, now we can go to the next thing. Great. Okay, so our company has been around for a long time. We actually started back in the mid-1800s, and there was a couple brothers. They had a pigment company. The brothers called it Eagle Pigment. And then that went on. It was a successful company for 50 years, 60 years, and in 1916, they merged with the Judge Pitcher, and the company became Eagle Pitcher. And 1945, Eagle Pitcher invested in some land just outside of Reno, which is our current Clark facility. Today, along with our Clark facility, we have two other manufacturing operations in Nevada, all along I-80. One of them is in Fernley, and one of them is in Lovelock. And then we have a couple other plants I'll talk about in different parts of the country as well. Today, we're the world's largest miner and processor of diatomaceous earth, the second largest. We're the first largest in the U.S. And we also are a major producer of filtrates and bentonite-based clays. I'll talk a little bit about more of these in a minute. We actually supply a third of the world's demand for diatomaceous earth. And with that, we are Nevada's largest exporter by volume. So the precious metal guys, they export more on a dollar basis, but we are the largest exporter based on volumes and containers heading out of Nevada over to the Port of Oakland and then all over the world to more than 70 countries, close to 100 countries across the world. You can see in the map below, I guess it's kind of hard to see, but you can see where we've got different market shares all across the world, in South America, in Russia, in Europe, in Asia, and in Africa. We've got a real broad range of products, and we sell into a real diverse range of markets. I'll talk about those in a minute. But it helps make us a real stable company. So as the economy goes through ups and downs and goes through all the cycles, our company, since we're in so many different markets, we really are stable and are a strong company through all those different cycles in the economy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really hate to do this to you.
Okay.
But I did not realize that we had a 10:30 time specific item on this agenda. So
okay.
We need to just kind of put you on hold.
Okay.
On a quick timeout and
serve
the 10:30 item, and then we'll get back to you. Okay?
Perfect. Not a problem.
I apologize.
Okay. No, no worries.
Sorry, Al. Okay. All right, at this time we're going to go ahead and we're just going to put this on hold. We're going to move up to item number 11. This is discussion, possible action. Hearing to consider approval of resolution 16-436 authorizing the lease of county property located at 1705 Peru Drive to Ames Construction Incorporated. This item will be heard at 10:30 a.m.
All right, and I apologize, Eagle Pitcher, but we do have to advertise these and schedule them for a specific time. It was advertised for 10:30, and that's why we have to go ahead with it now.
No sweat. Yep.
So under the statutes, if the county wants to lease less than 25,000 square feet, the county can do that without going through a public offer process. What we have to do is we have to publish a notice in the newspaper that the county is proposing to lease a portion of its property, which we are proposing to do, and that is a portion of the property at 1705 Peru Drive. The county has to pass a resolution determining whether or not the lease of that property is in the public interest, especially when we're going to lease it out at less than market rate, which is kind of the proposal here today, but not completely. I mean, what is proposed is that we're going to rent out a portion of 1705 Peru Drive to Ames Construction so they can use it for the purpose of kind of heading their construction process to get the USA Parkway completed. We have asked in the proposed lease that Ames either put in or reimburse the county for about $56,000 worth of tenant improvements, which will remain with the property at the termination of the lease. The lease is presently proposed for approximately 22 months. There is a provision for an additional 12-month extension at a rental rate of around $2,200 a month if Ames decides that they need to go ahead and use that property. But essentially, the benefit to the county is that we will get approximately $56,000 worth of tenant improvements put into the property while Ames is utilizing the property. And if Mr. Seth has something to add to that, I invite him to do so.
For the record, Seth Alexander with Ames Construction. I'll be very brief. We're very excited about this project. We're very excited to have an office out at the industrial park. We always look for these win-win solutions in all issues on a project. This is definitely a win for us and a win for the county as well. A quick bit about Ames Construction. We've been in business for 54 years, still have the original owners. We've been working in Nevada and had an office in Carlin for a little over 20 years, and we're extremely excited about this project, the USA Parkway. It plays to a lot of strengths that we have. The earth moving, we have a large fleet of equipment. We have people very experienced in this kind of work. It's also alternative procurement, which we like to think we're not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world when it comes to alternative procurement contracts. And very excited to move forward with this project and with the office.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner McGuffey, do you have any questions?
This is just office space. Am I correct?
If I may, I think explaining the details are important. First, I want to thank Seth and Ames. They have been phenomenal to work with. I mean, you know, we have something they need, which is space. They have something we need, which is a little bit of money in lieu of lease. So, and I want to stress that the improvements that are going to be made with this money are improvements that have been planned all along, but this won't involve really a true expenditure of county taxpayer dollars. So what Ames is taking from us for a period of 22-ish plus or minus months is basically establishing a field office in spare space that's in that's out at our Station 75, our McCarran Government Complex. For those of you that have been out there before, it used to be where we had our meetings and presentations and everything. We've now moved that over to an area closer to the fire department, and where Switch is currently in as well, at least the entrance to Switch. So what they're going to get is that whole open area where the TV monitors and tables were, less basically access that Dean needs, I need, our staffs need to get into our offices, and we do have one tenant out there as well as planning that is paying us market rate lease right now. So they have that, and then they've also asked for, because they're responsible under the terms of their bid, I gather, you know, to also provide some sort of space for the NDOT, for the Department of Transportation. How that works out is between Seth and Ames and their team and NDOT, but we're prepared to also lease out parking lot space, not only for the individuals that will be coming and going at this field office facility, but also probably for one, perhaps two, of the typical construction type trailers that you see out on job sites right now. Those may have more workers in there from NDOT or whatnot. So that's really what we're providing them in exchange for some really nice and long-desired tenant improvements, some of which we've already done that we'll be billing them shortly for.
Thank you. I understand, and I knew that. I've read all the documentation. I asked the question mostly for the benefit of the public to hear what's going on. I think it's a great deal. I guess I just wanted to hear say there wouldn't be any big dump trucks and heavy equipment type stuff out there. It's basically office.
Exactly. They've all already got quite a bit of rolling stock out, I believe, out there, and that's out pretty much at Pavement Inn or out in that area. So you're right. This is a field office office environment for the most part.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
And I might add, we're getting another win-win out of it, at least for 22 months, so I kind of hope they might want to go an additional 12. Keeping in mind that we really have three restrooms out there that aren't within the fire facility, it's pretty difficult for Mike Nevin to send his crew out there to provide custodial services, janitorial services on those three. And GA's offered to do it. I don't know why, but it's going to be it's great for us.
All right. Well, we open up for public comment at this time. Anybody have any public comment regarding this resolution? None? Do you have any follow-up on this, Mr. Loomis?
Just that the resolution is before you. We would ask if you decide to approve the resolution that you authorize the chairman to sign. The resolution itself will authorize the county manager to sign the lease with Ames.
All right. Very good.
Do they need to read the head of the resolution in there like we usually do?
Yeah, let's read it. Over.
I didn't follow that.
Yes. Generally, I think our practice is to read the title, the head in of the resolution. This is resolution number 2016-436, a resolution for the lease of space in the county building to Ames.
Okay. So I'm looking for a motion to approve this resolution.
I'll move to approve resolution number 16-436, authorizing the lease of county property located at 1705 Peru Drive to Ames Construction Incorporated, and hereby authorize our chairman or county manager to sign such lease.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution 16-436. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thanks for coming up today. Sorry for the delay. Okay. At this point, we're going to go ahead and backtrack, and we're going to go back to number 10 again. Al, sorry about that. We're going to get back up. Nicole, would you mind turning the lights off again back there? Thank you.
Okay, so we've got this. We've got these minerals, and we're located here in Nevada. We've got a plant in Clark. But what are all these minerals, and what do we do with them? So I'll talk about that right now. We've got a couple different things. They're really incredible. The first one is diatomaceous earth. This is commonly called DE. It's up there on the top right. There's a picture of it there. It looks like a little oil filter or old-fashioned curling roller. These things are actually tens of millions of years old. They come from a time when Nevada was covered with water, and there's lots of volcanic activity in the area. These volcanoes were spewing silica from the ash into these lakes, and the silica is actually food for these diatoms. And these diatoms had so much food there, they grew like crazy in these lakes. They overpopulated the lakes, they died, they settled to the bottom, and some geologists say at a rate of about one fingernail thickness per year. And now we're out there and there's hundreds of feet of ore in these mines. So it took millions of years for this whole process to take place. And these lakes eventually filled up with these diatoms. And then the Sierra Nevada mountains popped up, Nevada became dry, and now we have these dry lake beds that are out there, which is where we get our diatomaceous earth. It's basically algae. They're single-celled plant life. These diatoms are the skeletal remains of the algae from 10 million years ago. They're inert, they're silica, and we just take them, we mine them and bring them to our plant. We run it through some heaters and some kilns and some screening processes to make different types of particle sizes for all different types of applications, which I'll talk about in a minute. The clay there in the middle, I'll just touch briefly on that. That comes actually out of Tennessee. It's not located here in Nevada, but it complements the business that we do because the clay is basically, you think about this as a small mineral, microscopic. Think of a deck of cards. Those are all clay platelets, and although every card is held together by a calcium bond, and that's our product. It's a calcium bentonite. What that's good for is for absorption. So if you go to Jiffy Lube, or if you go to a CarQuest, or a Napa, or a Pep Boys, or any of those types of places where you see a 25-pound or 40-pound bag of absorbent, that's going to be either our clay from Middleton, Tennessee, or RDE from Clark, Nevada. Final one that we produce is perlite. Perlite is sort of a cousin of diatomaceous earth. And the only reason I say that is because it's also related or comes from volcanoes. But in the case of perlite, when these volcanoes erupted, these volcanoes were actually below the ground and they were below lakes. So as the lava came up, instead of erupting up into the atmosphere, the lava went right into a lake. And it reacted with the water froze it up, it solidified, and it became a volcanic glass, is what we call it. And it's like a real heavy, dense rock. We mine that just outside of Fallon today. We bring that to a couple of different plants that we have. We grind it up into a powder. We put that into a furnace. And since this product, millions of years ago, was in water and bonded some water inside of the volcanic glass when it was forming the glass, when we put it into heat, that water now wants to evaporate and wants to escape. So just like when you pop popcorn in your house, the kernel pops, the same exact thing happens to the perlite. The perlite pops because the water is trying to escape. It pops actually into a bubble, into a glass bubble. Think of it kind of like a light bulb, but again, we're speaking microscopically. And that light bulb is good for some applications, and some ores make a really thick, spongy kind of a round material. That's what you see at your nurseries. When you're getting your potted plants or potted soils, you see white things in that soil. That's a perlite. But that's made from a different kind of ore. Our ore isn't like that. Our ore expands in this glass bubble, really thin wall, really fragile, which is perfect for us because we want to crash it up anyway. So we run it through some mills. We break it into millions of pieces into a powder, and then we use that as a filter aid. And what we do then with all these different products, the clay, the diatomaceous earth, and the perlite, we do a lot of engineering and a lot of innovation to make new products for specific applications. We've got a full research team here located in Reno, Nevada, where our headquarters are. And I list here some of the different things that we've made. So we've got a product called NXT. We take diatomaceous earth and we mix it with some iron and we mix it with something called lanthanum. And that product now removes arsenic out of drinking water and it removes arsenic out of industrial waters. We have a product called Purified. That's where we take DE and we send it to an acid washing process. The acid washing removes all the contaminants out of it. And so now we can use it for things like blood fractionation and for pharmaceutical uses. So I talked about all the different markets that we're in at the very beginning and how resistant we are to cyclical cycles in the economy. So I'm talking about we're in pharmaceuticals on one hand, and we're in the stuff that you dump on the ground to soak up oil on the other hand. So all these different markets from one end of the extreme to the very high technical end of the extreme help us to be really flexible. So all different kinds of products listed there, but I want to go in and just keep things moving and talk about what you guys see every day and how these minerals impact your life every day. So when you look at the picture up here, we talk about cornwort milling, we talk about fruit juice, wine and brewing, and potable water. So cornwort milling, that's something that is used for making sweeteners, high fructose corn syrup, regular corn syrup, edible oils, oils that you cook with in your home. So, and when you're having any kind of oils or any kind of sweeteners, almost all of that is filtered with diatomaceous earth coming out of Nevada. Same thing for fruit juice and beer. A lot of fruit juices and almost all the big beer companies and all the big wine companies take their product and filter it through our DE or through our perlite. And what they're doing is our product in this powder form, they run their fluid through there. And so in the case of beer, you've got enzymes in there, you've got cells in there, you've got different cell structures that you're taking yeast that you take to produce the alcohol. The yeast mixes with the sugars in the beer. The yeast produces alcohol. The yeast dies out. And if you have a clear beer like a Coors Light or a Miller or something like that, you want to have a clear, crystal clear beer. The only way to get that is to filter it out. And people love using diatomaceous earth or perlite because they're natural, they're organic, they're not man-made, they're not a chemical, there's no taste, there's no odor, they're inert. So it's perfect for all these types of filtration. Potable water, like I talked about, the arsenic removal there. Then we move into some different functional additives and different industrial type products. So the top picture up here on the left shows some plastic film. And what we do there is we put DE into that film so that the film doesn't stick to each other. It's called an anti-block. If we didn't have the DE in that film, that roll of film that you peel off when you get your vegetables at the grocery store, it would stick like electrical tape. It would be so sticky. But putting the anti-block in there, the DE, helps that roll, helps that plastic come apart. Take your bag, put your vegetables in it, take it home, have your big dinner. We're also into paints and coatings. So any kind of paint that is flat probably has DE in it. And what DE does is it knocks the gloss out of your paint. So if you have a glossy paint, it won't have the DE in it. But a lot of paints are flat or an eggshell finish these days. And that's going to take RDE from Nevada into those paint formulations to knock the gloss down. We go into different areas like biofuels. That's pretty big right now, renewable diesel and biodiesels. And we also go into the petrochemicals. So we've got kind of both sides covered there. We've got the green, the biofuels, and we've got the traditional petrochemicals and even the new fracking business. We're heavily involved with those processes as well. And then we get into agriculture, and this is where it gets really interesting, I think, because you've got these diatoms, and we talk about all these different uses, whether it's filtration or paint or additives for plastics, but it's also as a soil amendment. If you remember what that diatom looked like, it was a canister, and it's about 80% air, and it's hollow. And it came from water 10 million years ago, and it actually wants water back again. So if you put that in the ground, and when you water it or sprinkle or rain happens, these diatoms soak the water right inside of these diatoms. They hold it there until your plants want the water back. The roots tap into those diatoms, pull the water out, and we're able to reduce the amount of irrigation by 10, 20, 30, 40%, depending on where you are in the country. It also is used in animal feed. It's used as an insecticide. So this is, I think, pretty neat. We're really starting to push our applications in the insecticide market now, because a lot of companies are moving away from the chemical pesticides, and there's actually more and more rules outlawing chemical pesticides for different kind of products and different kind of agriculture. DE actually kills bugs without any kind of chemical, without any kind of pesticide. The bugs actually crawl across that diatom. These diatoms are silica. They're sharp to a bug. They cut open their exoskeleton skin, and dries them out and kills them. The bugs can't build up a resistance to that. It's not a chemical. And it's really starting to take on a lot of growth for us at EP. And we sell a lot of that out of our Clark facility right here in Story. The guys at the ACES ballpark, they use our product on their conditioner for the dirt on their infield and for the warning track. It helps to, when you see these guys in the seventh inning, they're spraying water all over the place to knock the dust down. Having some clay or DE on that field helps to hold the water there so it doesn't evaporate in our hot summer nights. Holds the water there, keeps the dust down, keeps the field safe for the players on the field. This just shows a quick list of a lot of different companies that we deal with. A lot of Fortune 500 companies. A lot of these companies are guys that you know. I mean, we come in contact with a lot of these different companies on a daily basis in our lives, whether it's somebody like Smucker's or Welch's or Treetop, those juice guys. We got some big beer guys up there like Heineken and SAB Miller. Constellation is a big wine company. Swimming Pool, Pool Corp, O'Reilly's for different types of auto absorbents. Again, you see we're just in a lot of different areas across a lot of different markets, help keeping our business really stable. This just shows a quick picture of the different plants that we have. You can see our headquarters just down in Reno. We've got a plant in Clark. We've got another plant down the road in Fernley. And then the third one in Nevada is down in Lovelock. We've got one up in Vail, Oregon. We have a perlite plant in Blair, Nebraska. And I've talked about our clay plant in Middleton, Tennessee. In Nevada, we've got about 335 employees that work for us. In Lovelock, we're the second largest employer in that town. Really good jobs, high-paying jobs, above the state average. A lot of good benefits for all of our employees. And we really focus a lot on safety. Some of you guys have been to the plant, and you've probably seen the focus on safety. And it's demonstrated, and we've seen rewards from the different different areas or different organizations that have awarded our Nevada plants and mines with different types of awards for safety. You know, we want our employees to come to work every day, but we want to make sure they return back home to their families safe every day at night. We really try to support our local vendors where possible. We, you know, we're from Nevada. Our headquarters are here in Nevada. We want to support as many local people as we can. Here's some of the different folks that we work with here that we support locally. And we also give back. So we started a program a couple years ago where we want to give back to the communities where we live and where we work. And we are focusing on families in need, and especially families in need with children. And so at all the plants that we have, whether it's in Clark or Fernley or Lovelock or Oregon or Tennessee, our group focuses in those areas, in those communities, and a lot of volunteer work from our employees to give back to those organizations. And so that is it on EP Minerals. I want to just say thank you for having me today. We really appreciate the time to spend a few minutes with you. And if there's any questions, I can answer them now, or I can answer them afterwards, whatever you guys feel is appropriate.
That's a terrific presentation, Al. That was wonderful.
Good. Thank you.
Good questions, Rob?
I got a tour of your facility. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
A couple of quick things. One is I also want to recognize Al's partner today is Tim Crowley. Tim, for those of you who know Nevada, and particularly who know Nevada mining, I know Tim's been around a long time. First time I got to meet him, he was president and executive director of the Nevada Mining Association. He's the one that helped bring us back together. And we're together really in a better way with, I think, Eagle Pitcher. As you can tell, Al, I think you said 1955 in Clark?
1945.
Thank you. You know, so for 1945, this makes them, if not the founding father, out near the industrial park at the grand entrance to the industrial park, certainly one of the deans had me out to the facility a couple times, and I've kind of looked and said, yeah, there's a bunch of dirt, you know, and that's nice. But about 4 months ago, 6 months ago, it was Tim who said, you know, Greg Jones, the company president, wants to meet you, together with Al, together with the local guys out of the facility. And I believe Commissioner McGuffey, I think you were there with
him. Yes.
Fascinating tour. So I want to thank them, and they're our guinea pig, because what we hope to do, there's a lot of really great stories out in that industrial park that, you know, I may know, you guys may know, because we bring you out frequently. But I got to tell you, Dean yesterday, not to take away from EP Minerals, but Dean last week, rather, took me out to BI Nutraceuticals, and it is a fascinating place with lots of lab analysis and that type of stuff. And Dean asked the Grand Slam question of the day, you know, do you think our high school chemistry class could come out here for a field trip? And BI's executive said, absolutely, we'd embrace it, we'd love it. So these guys have kind of shown you something that I've driven past and taken for granted, not since 1945, I'm not that old, but for as long as I've been going out there, and thank you. You guys are great corporate citizens.
It's great. It's a great geology lesson that we've had today. You're right in our backyard, you know, and so I know a lot of people are going to go away from here going like, hey, we had no idea that all of that dirt went into products that we use. So
Right. It's an incredible mineral. It touches our lives every day. And it's right there.
And bless you for what you do for beer and wine.
We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come up and see us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, at this time we're going to go ahead and recess as the Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Moving on now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action, consideration, and possible approval of Resolution 16-435, establishing a capital projects fund for the Story County Fire Protection District. Mr. Haynes, Chief Haynes.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Honorable Board members. I don't want to go after EP Minerals. That was like really interesting and thought-provoking, and mine's not quite that exciting. But I'll give it a shot. This is basically cleanup work from when the 473 Fire Protection District was dissolved, and the 474 took responsibility for all risk, including wildland, for the entire county and fire district. They had some revenues left that rolled from the 473 to the 474 for capital improvement plans, They weren't calling it CIPs. They were calling it capital acquisition within their operating budget. We've been working with the comptroller's office and the district attorney's office to get that, if you will, cleaned up and put into the right funds. That's all this resolution does. So the comptroller and I have been working on the plan. The plan has to be submitted to state taxation after the resolution is completed. Looking at Keith to make sure I said resolution, not anything else, because he corrects me frequently. Thank you for that, Keith. So, yeah, that's essentially what this does. The CIP will be submitted to state taxation for approval. Each year it will become just another fund that has to go before the board for approval for use for that next fiscal year, and we'll get going from there. Right now this money is all sitting in year-end fund balances in the operating budget of the fire district. That's not the appropriate place for it. It should be put into a capital improvement plan.
Okay.
I could go in far deeper in detail, but if there's questions, I'd be happy to
answer. Let's get some questions first and see if we need to go into the weeds with it.
Great.
Okay. Commissioner McGuffey?
I already asked my questions earlier in the week.
All right. You're good to go. All right. Commissioner Gilbert?
No questions.
All right. Did you need to weigh in on this?
I'm good. This is a strategic move that I think is a smart one. There are sizable funds that we really want to begin developing programs, both in terms of equipment and in terms of facilities that need to be done. And again, it will be done not only through the Department of Taxation, which is a must-do step, but it will also be done through the Fire Protection District Board as well, as far as, you know, projects that are placed into the plan that are authorized once they're in the plan. Pretty much the same overall approach that we use with the infrastructure plan right now and the capital project plan that we have for the general government.
Very good. All right. Then why don't we open up for public comment then? Any public comment on this resolution?
Read the title.
Did you have something?
No, just that he would read the title before you take the motion.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Did you want to read the title?
Sure. I apologize. I left my agenda out in
the
seat. I don't have the number.
It's, you got your resolution?
16-435.
435. Thank you. Okay. So the title is Consideration and Possible Approval of Resolution 16-435, Establishing a Capital Projects Fund for the Story County Fire Protection District.
Thank you.
Very good. If I can get a motion for approval on this.
Yeah, I'll move to approve Resolution 16-435, establishing a capital projects fund for the Story County Fire Protection District.
I'll second that motion.
We're moving to second to approve Resolution 16-435. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, and thank you, Keith, for all your help on this, too.
All right. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the Story County Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion of possible action. Consider approval of memorandum of understanding with Nevada Department of Taxation and Nevada Tax Commission to authorize Story County officials to review records of Department of Taxation to determine whether there has been a proper reporting of transactions subject to sales and use taxes within Story County. Mr. Loomis.
Mr. Chairman, members, Commission, this is really a continuation of the efforts by the county to address the zip code issue as it applies to sales and use tax revenues from the basically the Tri-Center. This is a memorandum of understanding between the county and the Department of Taxation and the Tax Commission, which will authorize a certain number of individuals from the county, as well as Mr. Gransbury, to go look at what are normally confidential records of the department to see if we can confirm the accuracy of the sales and use taxes that are being provided to the county. And this is just an authorization to allow that to happen.
Is there any resistance on the Department of Taxation?
No, they've been very cooperative. They've actually drafted the memorandum, and they have seemed to see – I've seen no resistance. I know county manager's been there, and Ms. Langer's been there. I don't know if they've seen any resistance or not. I have not been down there.
Yeah. I would typify there's no resistance. It's just a – it's a slow path. For instance, we've asked one project to supply us vendor supplier lists
so that we can check their sales and use tax reporting to the state, and even getting that information from this one project, and it's not a big one, has been very difficult. It's just a very arduous process, but we're working with taxation on both the list of our retail service providers out there, Tire Rack, the restaurants, anybody involved in retail whatsoever. And then conversely, we're trying to better identify at least the big ticket items that should not be falling through the crack. It's pretty easy to know when a company like Sue Lilly extends their racking either up or out, who that vendor is. It's just a lot more difficult when you ask a company for all of its invoices or all of its work so we can audit that. So it's I think we've got the right team selected. There are very, very strict confidentiality requirements that we cannot disclose what we see. But it'll allow us to either catch errors in reporting or potentially satisfy ourselves that it is being reported correctly. And I want to say that again, as I think I mentioned before, if Washoe County and Reno Sparks raises their sales tax significantly, and we will always continue with our educational programs that Dean and Stacy do very well, Gary, Fritz, and Alicia do in terms of the permitting, we'll always do those educational processes. But by the time they go from Virginia City, Story County, Tri-Nevada to some corporate conglomerate back in Pittsburgh or wherever else they are, there's a lot of gaps that things could fall through. So we're not going to give up on any front, including this one.
Anything?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. Open up for public comment. Ms. Bart.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. So this allows us to go in and inspect the records.
Yes, the sales and use tax reports provided and submitted by the individual suppliers.
Okay. Is there anything, the next step potentially being a clawback, have you thought about what that would look like, and are you preparing for that?
The answer is yes. Yes, in our discussions with sales and use tax with Sameko Mazur, Terry Rubald, and others have been very simply that if we identify issues, they will correct them. That's their job. Their Department of Taxation's job is to assess, collect, and distribute sales and use tax accurately. So if we identify errors in reporting, we bring it to their attention under their authorities. They have already and will make corrections.
Okay, so they have a process to do that.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, ask for a motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding.
I'll move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding with the Nevada Department of Taxation and Nevada Tax Commission to authorize Story County officials to review records of Department of Taxation to determine whether there has been a proper reporting of transactions subject to sales and use taxes within Story County.
I'll second that motion.
All right. We're moving to second to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Story County, Nevada Department of Taxation, Nevada Tax Commission. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
And I would add that I think the Nevada Tax Commission is going to hear this tomorrow, so this may be completed out of tomorrow.
Very good.
And we will have folks there on Monday.
Perfect. That's great. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion and possible action, the second reading of ordinance number 15-267, amending Story County Code Title 8, Health and Human Safety, by adding Chapter 8.01, nuisances, and providing a uniform process for abating all the different nuisance complaints in the code. The amendment also changes the existing nuisance procedures in other parts of the code to be consistent with the new chapter provides for other properly related matters. Mr. Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Morse for the record. This was continued at the last meeting after a good discussion and some good ideas. And so while there was a pretty quick turnaround I think we did so successfully. I've talked to Mr. Witten about this, and I think we're ready to go today for approval. And I'll just take a few minutes to go through the specifics. The first one was how the complaint process is initiated. And if you look at section 801.030, the notice of nuisance, that's basically where the process begins. When somebody has a complaint, they'll go to the authorized inspector, which is defined earlier, and designated for each sort of area of the code. So like for buildings, chapter 50 or title 15, a building official would be the designated or authorized inspector. Once they get the complaint, they go through the process that's listed under this notice of nuisance. And you can see that they have to basically get all the information. They have to make sure that what's the legal parcel, the owner. They have to document or describe what's the offending condition or that creates the nuisance. They have to actually inform the person of their due process rights to a hearing or an appeal. And the idea is that once they collect this information and write the letter, they would send it to the owner of the property. Now, they normally would have 60 days within which to clean it up. There's a section in here that allows the inspector to extend the amount of time if there's reasonable progress in complying with the notice. Some projects take longer than 30 days. There's also a section where if there's a health and safety problem, that you can speed that up and either give less days, or there's a section as well about abatement by the county, sort of summary abatement if it's a real problem. So the changes that were made to this section is that we put that the complaint has to be written and signed so that it actually comes from a person. We also added text saying, or if the inspector observes a public nuisance. So that allows the county staff, if they observe a nuisance, to go ahead and initiate the complaint at that time. The second area that we discussed was the independent hearing officer. And section in definitions, it's on the bottom of page 2. I added text saying the board may designate a justice court or municipal court pro tem from outside the county as a hearing officer. And I just wanted to make clear we're not asking them to sit as a judge. We're asking them to sit as a hearing officer. And so the qualification is that they be a pro tem, just so that they know how to basically run a court hearing. But in this case, we don't want it too formal. And so I've specifically called out that the court rules of evidence don't have to apply in these cases. And that's just to allow people the opportunity to present their case without the restrictions of having to know the rules of evidence. And so I think that's going to make the hearing a little easier to complete. In discussing, and if you have any questions as I'm going along, please interrupt or ask if you have something. The other section that was somewhat confusing last time, and I'm hoping that it has been straightened out, is civil penalties. Previously, there were two sort of parallel procedures. One was for the nuisance and one was for civil penalties. And what I did is I changed it to allow the hearing procedure on the nuisance to be able to look at the need for civil penalties at the same time. And so I think it simplifies the process. If you look at 8.01060 subsection C, it says the inspector may ask for civil penalties to be imposed by the hearing officer, taking into account the gravity of the owner's conduct. So if somebody's not having any success at all in encouraging somebody to clean up a nuisance, the inspector can talk to the hearing officer and say that civil penalties might be appropriate in the case. And it would be up to the hearing officer to decide whether the civil penalties should be imposed. I've put in language that allows less than the full amount, if depending on what the hearing officer thinks is appropriate. So that deals with civil penalties. And also, when a person decides to appeal, they can appeal the civil penalties at the same time. And it used to be that I had a separate section for civil penalties, but now I've just incorporated them into the appeal of the hearing officer's decision. And I think overall it simplified the procedure, and I think that it's going to be better because of that. The other section that I wanted to discuss, and Mr. Witten brought it up at the last hearing, and we had further discussions about it, and there was a concern because there is going to be a hearing and a transcription of the hearing, that there's a cost connected with that, and we were trying to figure out the best way to handle that. And so what I've done is I've added language. It's again in 8.01060 at the bottom of section A. It says the owner is required to deposit in an amount set by resolution of the board. And so that's going to give us an opportunity to decide exactly what the amount should be for this deposit. But it does set it up where the board would be able to decide the amount of money if the board decides that they want to have the costs of, say, the transcription or the hearing itself to be covered by the owner. And in the bottom of section C in the same section, I said if the hearing officer determines that there is no nuisance, the deposit would be refunded in full. And so in that case, if the board decides to set a deposit, it would be set up with the idea that if the person is successful in their hearing or appeal, that they would not have to pay any deposit, or they would get refunded the deposit. And so those are the basic changes that I added. I put some text in the staff report. There was a concern, I think it was by Mr. Phillips, And I addressed some of that, and I think what he was looking for was a more formalized method where somebody would be designated basically a code enforcement officer. And it seems at this point the county doesn't really need a full-time code enforcement officer, and the informal use of these authorized inspectors, I think, is a better way to handle it. The only other thing, there was comments about being more specific about what a nuisance is, and I just wanted to point out again, the beginning of the nuisance section has in on page one declarations of nuisance, and it has the basic simple legal requirements of what is a nuisance. But if you look on page eight under 808.010 definitions, I've added quite a bit of language. I added a section garbage, and I added a section litter with pretty extensive language describing what that is. I think there was one change in noxious plant growth. We added power poles to as well as fence lines to keep those clear. So I think we've dealt with most issues that have been raised during public comment and by the board, and unless there's some questions, we feel that it's ready to go.
D.A. Langer. I think before this ordinance, I think the county's had has not had a realistic ability to correct or, in essence, rid itself of nuisances. I think what we've been able to do through this ordinance and through Bob's hard work is be able to put together a procedure that we can now start going after these nuisances. I think when I started a couple years ago, Mr. Witten indicated that nuisances at that time were considered maybe a civil type of suit. Many of the nuisances were not dealt with criminally. With this procedure on the civil side, there is now more of a enforcement group that you have a hearings officer who can, much like an informal court hearing, make decisions on nuisances. So I think that we have, both on the civil side now and the criminal side, an opportunity to hopefully get some results based on the way that the new statute is taking effect. Based on what you do here, our next plan would be to have meetings with the building department, with the DA's office, and with the help of Bob Morris to have actual practicums where we would take a particular nuisance and show how the actual nuisance works within the nuisance ordinance.
So with this ordinance, the way it's been rewritten, are you confident now that this is an enforceable new ordinance going forward?
I think it is. I think that a lot of the issues that made it so complicated and unable to enforce were not there. You did not have a hearings officer. You had nothing. So basically it would go to an informal process. I think that Story County inspectors have been tried to work with people over and over, but since there was really no quote-unquote civil or criminal penalties attached to it, it just didn't have the teeth in it to have these people correct their nuisances. So I think based on the way that it's written, it's more streamlined, it makes a lot more sense, and I think that we have an opportunity to finally go after some of these nuisances in the county that have just been eyesores for years.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner McGuffey?
Hats off, Mr. Morris. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
Great job. You really cleaned it up well. It's easy to read. I only found one little typo thing, and that would be on page 13. Section 4 or 5, D, the very last sentence in D.
Uh-huh.
I'll start with Belize. With both, will both provide relief and preserve the integrity of the local ordinance?
Oh, I see it.
Instead of if. Okay. Other than that, it's awesome. Great job.
Thank you. And I would say that it's probably obvious that we're going to come back with a resolution that's going to appoint off hearing officers, and at that time we'd have the discussion about what the board thinks about the deposit. And so I see that coming on the heels of this.
And I believe the deposit, the intent is to cover either the cost, if found sustained through the hearing officer, of the pro tem and the court transcriber. But if found unsustained, i.e. there is no nuisance, then as the ordinance calls out for, it would be refunded.
Okay.
No comment. Great project. Well done. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Welcome, Antonio. Public comments? Hearing none? Call for a motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance 15-267.
So I'll motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance number 15-267, amending Story County Code Title 18, Health and Human Safety, by adding a Chapter 8.01, Nuisance, and providing a uniform process for abating all of the different nuisance complaints in the code. The amendment also will change the existing nuisance procedures in other parts of the code to be consistent with the new chapter and provides for other properly related matters.
It sounds like you said Title 18. It is Title 8, and I'll approve that motion.
Moved and second to approve the second reading of Ordinance number 15-267. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Morse.
Thank you.
Terrific. Moving along now to community development and planning, item number 15. This is for possible action, licensing board second reading.
Our business licensing goddess will give a first attempt at this.
Thank you. No pressure.
Please spell your name for the record.
Spell my name. That'll take all day. Thank you, Chairman. Board.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Stacy Buccaneri for the record.
Thank you.
Per our approval letter dated 3/14, we would like to ask you approve items A through P as they've had their second readings. Would you like the names listed?
We usually do.
Okay. A is Desert Valley Dental of Tri. That's the new dentist down at 420 USA Parkway. They've received their CFO and they're completed. B, Western Partitions, Inc. C, Rolling Plains Construction, Inc. D, Helix Electric of Nevada, LLC. E, Medic Electric, LLC. F, Ergomat, Inc. G, Martin Harris Construction, LLC. H, Borges Architectural Group. I, Colog, Inc. J, Item West, LLC. K, EDAX, Inc. L, Friendly Plumbing, Inc. M, Apollo Sheet Metal, Inc. N, Future Electronics Corporation. O, ICG Construction, LLC. And P, Geotemps, Inc. I would like to note B through P are all out-of-county licenses. The only in-county is A, Desert Valley Dental.
Very good. And most of these are probably at the industrial park.
Most of them, yes.
Right. That's great. Okay. Commissioners? Let's see here. Is there any public comment on this before we go on for a vote? Hearing none, looking for a motion to approve these licenses.
I'll move to approve the second reading of the licenses A through he is involved.
I'll second that motion.
All right. It's been moved to second to approve licensing board second readings of items A through B. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Moving along now to item number 16. This is public comment.
Ms. Bart, come on down.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. I read an article in the Nevada Appeal last week that says that the state's guidance to its agencies regarding the upcoming budget cycle is going to be to come in at flat to 5% down because the revenues aren't coming in as they thought. The revenues are actually coming in flat-ish to slightly down-ish. So guidance from the state to their agencies is go flat to 5% down. My question to you is, we're coming up on our budget cycle. What guidance have you given to the various departments regarding the budget?
You want to take a lead on that?
I'll take a small one. I'm a little disadvantaged because I'm not directly involved in the details of the budget as it's being developed. I get an overview from the fiscal team of Hugh, Jesse, and Jennifer. I think it's scheduled for Saturday the 26th right now. I would generally tell you that general statements coming from the Department of Taxation may or may not apply. They certainly don't take into effect new projects that we have had out and try, such as AZZ and others that will be on the books this year. It also does not take into account new personal property change-ups that routinely happen out there. They're giving a global statement to probably all their jurisdictions. We get our own individual forecasts that are, I think, much more meaningful. The fiscal team then takes those and works with them. There certainly are some concerns, and I'll segue here for just a minute and attempt to say this. I said it this morning at a meeting and apparently got it right. We all know that if you have assessed values or market values, but ultimately assessed values, that during recession, regardless of whether those are single-family homes, commercial industrial buildings, or whatever, they can free fall in value with no break or governor. Conversely, when they begin to ratchet back up, as in the market that we may begin to see skeptically, that they were presumed to have climbed at a rate no greater than 3% for owner-occupied single-family dwellings and 8% for commercial, industrial, and non-owner-opt. Those are the property tax caps that are on there. The assessed values can certainly grow, but the taxes can't. The revenues can't. Certainly they'll get there over time if those markets stay either bullish or bearish, but in the end of the day, up to 8% and up to 3%, the up twos are probably the operative words because there is a very complex formula that I wouldn't even want to begin to explain as to ultimately how that 3% for owner-occupied single families, I believe, becomes either 2.8 or 2.9%. I have that number on my desk. More critical to us is that 8% that mostly would have been incurred out with existing buildings. This only applies to real property, the caps. That 8% would have applied out in Tri will only be either 2.8 or 2.9% too. So long story short, there won't be any real growth except for the new stuff or the expanded or recycled stuff.
I think to follow up on that, I don't think we've seen any red flags on anything. And our first two quarters of reviewing our budget, is it? The revenues have been in line with where they're supposed to be. So,
and where they're supposed to be is where we forecast, not necessarily where they were taxation.
Right.
We go through this routine with taxation every year where they tell us, take these numbers. And we take it several steps further, which has been a key ingredient in our success. We look at those numbers, and then we come back and we say, well, you're on target here. You're overly optimistic here. We don't agree with you here. And in some areas, for instance, I will tell you, property taxes are a huge component in many of these smaller, the Mineral Counties, the Esmeralda Counties. I mean, that's all we got, quite frankly. For us, it could be something as critical as business licenses and plan review fees for both fire and building feeding into the general fund, fire feeding the fire district direct. So all those components you have to look at. You can't just look and say taxation says, you know, 5% down or whatever. That's a global statement, not a specific Stark County statement.
So we don't expect that the money coming from the state is going to be affected, meaning it's going to, because if they have to decrease their money, the money coming to us from the state may be hit. So
I haven't been briefed on the budget. I can't think of any monies that comes direct from the state. They're saying that property taxes globally, whatever globally, and again, I didn't read the article. I don't read the Nevada Appeal. But I would tell you I can't think of any state monies that we would be jeopardized. It will certainly make the 2017 legislative session interesting again as far as unfunded mandates and white noise like that that they throw up when they do have funding problems. But I don't know
okay.
if the money coming from the state.
Okay. Just wondering if the guidance that they have given their own organizations, you know, if ours is similar to that, different from that.
Oh, okay. Given that context, I think what they're basically saying is they're telling motor vehicles, they're telling highway patrol, they're telling DOT, although that's a different animal because of federal funding, but they're telling their various agencies this year, corrections, the prisons, this year expect a downturn. That doesn't necessarily apply to us. That's just their forecast of their revenue streams, whatever they are, inclusive of portions of our property taxes and sales taxes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Meeting is adjourned.
Actually, are you recessing or adjourning?
Adjourning. We set up for a session too with us.
We do that?
Yeah.
We got a closed session?
Yeah. I should have recessed it.
All right.
I'm going to want it done. I'll grab it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It wasn't technical, right? I should have recessed. Very well. We convened a closed session.
Well, we've got to find some paperwork.
Yeah,
we've got to take a quick
break.
Okay.
Take a quick break.
I'm going to come sit right next to you in March.
How nice.
So I can hear. Okay, good. Yay. Mm-hmm. Okay, how long can I sit? No. So you don't ask how I'm wishing.
Got new paperwork for us?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to sit way over there.
Depends on what kind of reputation you have, Lance.
I said,
depending on what kind of reputation you have.
Well, yes. We all, in a variety.
Yes.
We're become known as the number one for fun in the community, so
oh, yeah.
That counts.
Yeah, I had green hair at the event. Did you see my picture? Did you see my outfit?
I heard about it, but I haven't had the opportunity to visit with you yet. But I understand you were fully costumed.
I was fully costumed. I'll show you a picture.